Right now, it is time to bring in speaking about intact streaks. We haven't heard from Brian Ross in 3 weeks. I sent him another message today. Yeah, maybe you can call and find out what's going on. Yeah. I sent him a message.
That's bizarre. Yeah. I thought I heard you talking during what would have been Brian Ross.
But anyways, the streak is intact for our next guest, which is Dr. Judy Wertmann. Judy is the co-author of the Serotonin Power Diet, serotoninpowerdiet.com. Also, Before Her Voice Was Still, A Friendship in the Shadow of ALS, and also Journal of a Duck Midwife. And we bring her on right now. Good morning, Judy.
Good morning to you, and a very interesting discussion. I really enjoyed listening to it.
Who says that you are a wide-ranging individual? Look at those books.
Well, at least they don't say I'm a wide individual.
That's right.
But we haven't done the humor book
yet. Hey, Judy,
yet.
You know, there's something you have to talk about and do investigation.
Cat's biting me.
And what it is I've been through my doctor, forwarded to two experts, okay, specialists in different fields. The first specialist, I had to wait a month and a half. The next one, I can't see until October.
Oh, yes.
The medical world is crazy, that's all I'll say.
Yeah.
You know, does anybody, that should definitely be a discussion that should be in the front pages of a major newspaper. In fact, I tried to make an appointment for my husband, and I was told that the doctor sees patients, get this, one day every other week. And the secretary said, "Well, I think I can make an appointment for you." This is being the beginning of August in October. So if you're dead, you don't have to keep the appointment.
Exactly. You know, it kind of makes you not worry. Whatever it is, it must not be that serious.
I didn't want to hijack the show, but I just thought that.
No, you're absolutely right.
By the way, is that the new Aleve?
I think that's why we all tend to use Dr. Google, because, you know, while you're figuring out whether you should start thinking about where your cemetery plot is or cremation or not, waiting for that appointment, you can figure out whether your condition is really lethal or just annoying.
Yeah.
Or bothering.
Or terminal. So, I remember this is decades ago with my mom having to, I was pressing the resident at that time for, a time frame. And he unwillingly gave 6 months, but he gave it, and he was right to the day. But that's not it's like if you've got a finite amount of time sitting around on your backside waiting for a doctor to see you is really unfriendly.
All right,
well, I think one response would be, what would you do, dear doctor, if this is really important to me? But the other thing is they cover themselves by saying, well, if this is an emergency, defined emergency, then call, the main number of the hospital or whatever, and you'll get some help. Well, I've never done that, thank God. But maybe that's how it's being, the doctors cover themselves. If it's really important, don't see me. Just call the main number of the hospital, and somebody will take care of you. But as long as it's not July, thank God that's over too, because that's when the residence starts. You don't want to do it then. Anyway.
That being said, we all need baked potatoes now.
In a few seconds remaining, I don't know how the weather is where you are right now, but it's going to be about 100 degrees today. And one of the things I was thinking about was how hard it is for those people who tend to exercise outside or simply enjoy this summer to give themselves a chance to do the kinds of recreational activity you can't do when the weather gets colder, like playing, like going for a long bike ride, for example, or kayaking or playing tennis or what have you. What this hot weather does is make it almost impossible to do it with any kind of safety, let alone enjoyment, because of the heat. And one of the things that I know happens to me, but it's not just a personal phenomenon, is that when I've had to go a few days without being able to exercise, I find myself getting really cranky, and I think, why am I getting so cranky? Which is not my normal state. Some of them, and I think, it's because I haven't been able to go to the gym, take a walk, go for a run, because of the heat or the cold, or I'm traveling, or I'm stuck someplace at a conference and I can't get out to do this, and I think people who don't tend to exercise regularly probably can't relate to this, but those people who do, who really use exercise as sort of a safety valve to allow themselves some private time, allow themselves to do something energetic to sort of get the tension out of their muscles, to escape for a while the ongoing demands of their life and their work, etc., not being able to do so can be extremely frustrating. It's sort of like being put into a virtual straitjacket because you're not able to really move enough to decrease the kind of stress that normal life builds up in you. And you know, one of the reasons it's said that people's moods change, and there are actually a lot of studies showing that exercise per se really does help with depression and anxiety among people who both have those in your normal part of life or people who have clinical symptoms of depression. The exercise really helps. And one of the reasons given is that, you know, if you really exercise, you have this endorphin high. I have to tell you, Jill, that I've been exercising really a good part of my life. I'm still waiting for that high. I think there are other ways of getting it other than exercise. And for me, you know, that high comes if I've managed to run up a hill or managed to go through a program on a Peloton or a bicycle or something, you know, without falling into a puddle. At the end, I think, wow, I've been able to do that. That's my high. But according to some people, there is a chemical change caused by endorphins in your brain that cause you to feel euphoric as a result. And that's what people crave who do feel that way. And when they can't exercise, they don't get it. But I really think that the virtue of exercise is to really allow you to be alone, focused on your body, focused on what maybe the person running the aerobics class or dance class is telling you to do, and being able to totally distract yourself from what's going on in your life. And as I said, feeling that the tension in your muscles can be somehow, you know, oozed out, you know, that you just sort of feel relaxed because you're able to move your muscles, able to run or bike or somehow do something that gets you the tension out. And the problem with this hot weather is that it's very, very hard to do it. And oftentimes you have to sort of look for alternates just as you would in the middle of the wintertime. And I think just one thing people ought to be aware of, if they're getting cranky now, it may not be just because the weather is hot, but because the weather is hot and they can't exercise.
And how do you, I think I've got a minute to ask you this question. If it's broiling, and if you don't love to exercise, but if you know you should, what do you recommend?
I guess what the best thing to do is to, you know, if you have air conditioning wherever you live or where you work, you know, to try to, if you can, go up and down a couple of flights of stairs, maybe just do some stretching exercises, you know, postural kind of exercises. If you have stretchy cords, you can really use those. You know, during the pandemic, you know, people were trying to make their own little gyms at home and or even use, you know, a tree trunk to do some stretching. And, you can't really do it outside, or else you have to do it very early in the morning or late at night when it cools down. There really isn't a very good option, frankly. If you're living in a place where there are no stairs or, you know, you can't move very much, I think that it's something that maybe, you know, with global warming, we really ought to start thinking about. You know, just as we think about, you know, what do we do when it gets really cold? You know, maybe there are some things we've learned during the pandemic that we can now use during the heat when it forces us to stay inside.
Yeah, or I
mean, there really are not really very good options.
Because one of the things, even if you're chair-bound.
Pardon?
Even if you're chair-bound, one of the things that I would think
is you can use your own body.
That's
as
right.
A weight.
And I was just going to say, you put on some music.
You can do push-ups. You can lift. If you're standing, just getting up and down from a chair 10 times without using your hands, that's hard as people age because they lose their thigh muscles become weaker. And it's, you know, for people who are young, oh, what's the big deal about getting up from a chair? But if you are older, it can be really hard standing on one leg, simply doing push-ups against a wall, you know, jogging in place. I mean, I used to jump rope many years ago until somebody said it's not really good for your ankles. But, you know, just jump roping for a minute, if you have a cold basement, that's cool. That's not easy without making any kind of mistakes. Simply hitting a ball against a wall. I think there are some things you can do, but they're not going to, and if you have equipment at home, you can use it. But other things are not, it's not that easy really to do. And I think that one of the things that we have to think about is what kind of inexpensive equipment can we have at home so that we can exercise when it's simply too hot to do it outside. Or cold.
That too. Thank you as ever. Thank you very much.
Okay.
Doctor.
Okay, and I hope you can make that appointment, Marshall.
Okay, so
you too.
Bye-bye. Bye-bye.
Thank you very much, Dr. Judy Wortman, Food for Mood.
It's nice to know that it even happens to doctors.